I'm going to invite Chris Whitwell to come and join us on screen. Chris is going to bring our message for this morning. This is the end of our series in Exodus that we've been traveling through. And so we're excited to bring it to a conclusion on Pentecost Sunday. And we're going to be looking at Colossians next. And Chris may say a little bit more about that later. But Chris, I'm going to pray for you and pray for us as we listen and hear to both you and what God is saying to us. So, Father, we thank you for Chris. We thank you for who he is. We thank you for the message that you've put on his heart for today. Holy Spirit, would you come and speak to each one of us, wherever we are, whatever is going on? Would we hear words of life, of wholeness and breakthrough? In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Neil. And good morning, everyone. It's so good to be with you. And let me welcome you to our live stream. If you are part of our church family normally, or you're visiting with us this morning, you're all just really welcome. My name is Chris, and I'm a part of the staff team at Christchurch and have been for about 7.5 years now. And as Neil said, this is the last in our series, which we've called Guided by the Fire. And we've been journeying with God's people through the book of Exodus in their unknown season, in their unfamiliar place. And we're going to actually wrap this series up today. Paul has, who's our vicar, he's put together a table of, I guess, information about what happened in the in-between chapters that we haven't gone through into detail. And that's available for you on our website. And I think was attached to the Friday email as well. So do check that out if you want to dive more into the story of the Exodus journey. Today, I'm actually not going to be in Exodus at all. I'm going to take us back into the New Testament, and I'm going to link it, hopefully, all together from a passage or a couple of passages in the New Testament. We asked at the beginning, we asked you a question about if you weren't doing what you did now, what would be your dream job or what would you like to do? And there were a whole range of answers, which is really cool to see. I think for me, there are probably a couple of options, a couple of major options. But I think the main one that I would just come back to again and again I would just love to play professional sport. I would have loved to have played professional sport, and particularly team sport, I suppose. Growing up, I played a lot of sport, mainly cricket. But in my teens and through into university, I also played a lot of basketball as well. And I just loved playing sport. In fact, I still love sport. I love watching it. I love playing it. I'm just a big sports fan. As a cricket player, I was mainly a batter, and I used to open the batting, which means I'd come in first. And there were many days in my cricketing journey where some big fast bowler would get me out very early, and I wouldn't score any runs, and it would be like a bad day. There were so many days where that happened. But there were these occasional days, these days that sometimes you just found yourself like in a flow, where you'd find yourself in this place where things just seem to work. You might be able to relate to what I'm saying, and you may be able to relate to that in a different context. You know, where things just flow, what you're doing just works. It makes sense. Everything that you put your hand to, it just happens the way you think it should happen. Maybe you're in the flow of work, or maybe it's, I don't know what it is for you, but sometimes those moments happen. As a cricket player, I remember, as a batsman, those days it felt like the ball was bowled to me slower, or the ball was bigger. The ball would go exactly where I wanted it to go. It would come off my bat harder. It would flow. It would work. These are the days where it felt like life was just the way it was meant to be. I was like totally in the flow. I wonder what you find yourself in the flow of right now in life. What are you in the flow of? You might be in the flow of family. You might be in the flow of a new relationship. You might be in the flow of lockdown and all that comes with that. You might be in the flow of culture and just being taken by the flow of culture and just going along with what culture does and everything that comes with being in the flow of culture. You might be in the flow of your career. I don't know what you're in the flow of right now. But on this very special and honestly unusual Pentecost Sunday. What I do know is that there is another flow that is to be found. The greatest, most significant, most transformational flow that there is, the flow of the Holy Spirit. And so today, to wrap up our series, the title of my message is Finding the Flow. Finding the Flow. If you've got a Bible with you, I'd love you to turn to Acts chapter 2. We're going to start there, and I'm going to read a little bit of it now. But then we're going to go quite quickly into another passage in the New Testament. So if you've got a Bible, why don't you just turn with me to Acts chapter 2. We're going to read a few verses from Acts together, and then we're going to dive into another book of the New Testament. Acts 2 says this: when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them because they said they've had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And this is the word of the Lord to us today in Acts." We're going to come back to those verses in a few minutes. And what I want you to do is keep a finger in Acts, because we're going to move to a different portion of the Bible. We're going to actually move to John chapter 7. And we're going to take a few minutes just to set this up. So stick with me as we set this up. But in our verses from Acts, the context of these verses is essentially partly that the people that are there are gathering for a festival in Jerusalem. And in John chapter 7, the same is true. The people are gathering for a major Jewish festival called the Festival of Tabernacles. And Jesus is going to go to this festival. One of the reasons for us to start here today is because a big part of this particular festival in John chapter 7, the Festival of Tabernacles, was that it was a Thanksgiving festival. It was all about Thanksgiving. It was partly about Thanksgiving to God for the harvest that was coming. It was also, though, and this is where it's key in terms of where it is in our series in Exodus, this festival, a big part of it was all surrounding the guidance that God gave his people in the wilderness. This is what a big part of this festival was all about: the unique guidance that God had given his people in the 40 years that they spent in the wilderness. This was a moment of joy for people. This was a happy time. This was a joyful and encouraging celebratory festival for how God had guided them by his fire, a joyful moment for the Jewish people. I wondered, as before we move on into other specifics, I wondered if we might take a moment to be thankful. I wondered if we might take a moment for our own thanksgiving. And so I wanted just to ask you, and I'm going to carry on speaking as you do this, but I wondered if you would just start to post on our live feed, just things that you're thankful for. And you can just say, I'm thankful for whatever. And you can just put one word if you want to. Just do that right now. If you're not able to do that, that's fine. But just turn your mind and your heart towards thanksgiving to God. You know, thanksgiving is so important, the way it postures our heart towards him and his plans. So just start to do that now. And as you do that, and as you start posting your thanksgiving, I'm going to just keep going. And you can keep listening, hopefully, at the same time. So Jesus' brothers, John chapter 7, tells us that they want Jesus to go to the festival with them. But Jesus responds to them and he says, well, it's not time for me to go yet. And he says it's just not his time. And then his brothers leave for the festival. And Jesus actually waits a bit and then goes to the festival in secret because it's not ready for him to be in public yet. Maybe it's just not, it's a bit too dangerous. We find out that the Jewish leaders are really talking a lot about him and are not quite sure about what's going on with him. Verse 14 of John chapter 7 says that it's not until halfway through this festival of tabernacles that Jesus decides to go up to the temple courts and decides to start teaching. This is maybe 3.5-4 days into the festival. The people are amazed as Jesus teaches, as they so often are, aren't they? The people are amazed at Jesus' teaching. And they're amazed because he hasn't been trained in the way that they expected someone like him who could teach like that to be trained. The people are amazed and the story unfolds until we get to verse 37, which is where I just want to land us for a moment. And I want to read John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. They say this, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So we're at the Festival of Tabernacles. It's the last and the greatest day of the festival. And there's a bit of uncertainty as to whether this was day 7 or day 8, but either way, it's the last day of the festival. And one of the very specific reasons for this festival was to celebrate the provision of the water that God provided in the deserts that kept them alive, like the living water that was actual water. And each day during this festival, the people and the priests would enact this ritual where they would take water in a golden jug from a particular pool, and they would gather this water up, and then they would process it, and they would march it back up the hill towards the temple, and they would take it through the water gate of the temple, and the priests would stand at the altar in the temple, and the priest would pour the water all out over the altar. He would pour it out, the water that had been gathered from the pool in the golden jug, he would pour it out all over the altar, and the water would flow over the altar and drip down. And flow. And this symbolized the living water of the desert that God provided for his people. And you can go and read about that in other parts of Exodus, particularly Exodus 17, which we've talked about already in our series. Now, this had happened at this point when Jesus gets up and speaks. This had probably happened for like 6 days already. This ritual of the pouring, the gathering of the water and the procession up and the joy of celebrating the water that kept them alive, and they poured it out all over the altar. This has maybe happened 6 days already. And then verse 37 says that on the last and greatest day, Jesus stands. And actually the tense in the original language for this word, that Jesus stood, it actually really means that he was already standing. So Jesus is already standing up. It's the last and the greatest day of the festival. The people have observed this ritual for 6 days already of the pouring out of the living water on the altar. And Jesus is already standing, and he says in a loud voice, I want to read it again. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Rivers of living water will flow from within them. And so now Jesus is declaring that the flow of life is now in the form of rivers that flow from within you. And this marks one of the greatest and most absolutely key transitions between Old and New Testament realities. That the guidance of God, that the very presence of God is now primarily an internal reality, not just guidance from an external one. The very presence of God can now dwell within you, not just an external observation. The flow is within you. Now, the people up to this point, it's a joyful time. I mean, it's a joyful festival. They're celebrating so much about what God had done and what he was doing and what was to come as well. They'd seen this ritual happen for maybe 6 days already, which celebrated the physical flow, the practical expression of living water that happened in the desert. And then Jesus, who's standing up, essentially says, it's time to redirect the flow. It's time to redirect the flow from an external reality to an internal reality. And some of us today, as we're sat here listening or you're watching catch up, I don't know, some of us, you might be focused on the physical flow of life. You might even be focused on the very practical flow of life, which is not bad. Like, it's okay to be focused on those other things. It might be some of the things we talked about right at the beginning of the message, some of the things that of the flow of life that you're focused on right now. It's okay. But for some of us, maybe it's time to hear the voice of Jesus to us today, redirecting the flow in our life. Maybe it's time to start engaging with the promise of the Holy Spirit in a new and deeper way, the greatest, the most transformational flow in our life, the Holy Spirit. Finding the flow of the Holy Spirit is the way that life was actually designed to be. So let's move back into our verses in Acts just for a few moments. Because there are a few things that I want to just pull out of here. Because this is the reality, that shift, that redirection of flow from external to internal is exactly what was happening here in our verses in Acts. They've got the sound of the violent blowing wind filling the place where they were, the house, the tongues of fire that rested on them, revealing the presence, the very presence of God amongst them, and them being filled with the Holy Spirit. The promise of Jesus from John chapter 7, that the rivers of living water that would flow from within them is now actually a reality. Those rivers are flowing from within them. And there are a couple of moments that I want to just pick out of these few verses here in Acts chapter 2, a couple of key moments that reveal something really key about the heart of God in this momentous transition in history. Because it is about that transition from external to internal, but there's also this other thing that these verses really highlight. And one of the key things that is in the heart of God in this moment that reveals who he is and what he's about is that the promise is for all people. The promise is for all people. I want to pick out the moment where they start to speak the languages. It's a fascinating moment, isn't it? And the tongues of fire, they come and they rest on the people. And they begin to, as they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they begin to speak all these different languages. And we can see from the list of the people that's written in these chapters, there's so many different people there, so many different people from so many different places. And yet every single one can hear their own language being supernaturally spoken by the people who were filled by the Holy Spirit. This is one of those moments that I want to pick out because it's this moment where God gathers multiple people. He gathers multiple nations from different places and he gathers them and every single one by the filling of the Holy Spirit through someone else can hear their language being spoken. What does it say? It actually says in verse 11, we can hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? we can hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. This is a part of God's plan, that this was the moment where it was for all people, for all people. As the story moves on, Peter gets up to speak. This is an amazing moment in the Bible where Peter gets up to speak, and he quotes a prophecy from the book of Joel. Another moment here where we see the heart of God, where it's written in Joel, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And verse 21 says, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is for everyone, for all people. This is a momentous point in history that we're still living in right now, where the promise of God is for all people. This is an amazing reality, that we have access to that flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And just as Jesus in John chapter 7 redirects the flow, this is another one of those moments. Peter goes on as he preaches and as he speaks to the people. And the people, once they hear what Peter is talking about, verse 37 of Acts 2 says, when the people heard it, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Like, how do we respond? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise, and this is where I want to finish today, the promise is for you. The promise is for your children, and the promise is for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Finding the flow of the Holy Spirit is the way life was meant to be lived. And I don't know where you find yourself today in terms of your relationship with God, your relationship with the Holy Spirit. I don't know where you find yourself right now. You may have discounted yourself from your relationship with God. And I might be speaking to someone. It might even just be one person right now who you just said, hey, I'm just not good enough to be in relationship with God. I have done X amount of things. I've made so many mistakes in my life. I've got so many things wrong. I would love it, but I've just discounted myself from this whole thing. Some other of you that are watching, you may have just discounted yourself from this promise of the Holy Spirit for a whole load of other reasons. I don't know what it is. But I want you to hear today that the flow of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit is for all people. It is for you. The promise is for you. The promise is for your children. The promise is for all who are far off. And I want to speak just now for a moment to those of you that might feel far off, because by the gift of the Holy Spirit, this verse was included in the Bible. It's for you, for your children, but for all who are far off. And I want to pray for anyone today who feels far off, that you feel so far away from the reality of God. You feel so far away from the gift of the Holy Spirit that is talked about in these verses. You feel so far away from that flow of life that was the way it was meant to be. And I believe today that there's an opportunity for you to draw closer to the heart of God, to be drawn closer again to who he is. And it might even be for the first time. It might even be for the first time. You know, one of the amazing things about this gift of the Holy Spirit is that it's nothing that we can do other than believe to make it real. There's nothing we can do. The pressure is off. The pressure is off you. And so what I'm going to do now, just as we wrap up, I'm going to ask Julia to come just in a second, and she's going to sing over us. And as we respond and as we pray now, all I'm going to ask you to do is just to submit yourself to the Holy Spirit, to the flow of the Holy Spirit, just to allow yourself to sit back and to submit and just say, yes, I receive whatever it is, God, that you want to give me today. Let faith rise up in you. Let God stir belief in you, a belief for the promise of the fullness of life and the flow of the Holy Spirit that can exist in your life. So, Gia, I'd love you just to come on. And some of you that are with us and not usually with us at church might not know that Julia actually is a worship leader, and her primary role with us at Christ Church is to head up our evening gathering on a Sunday worship team. And she's got such an anointing for leading us in worship. And I just wanted to ask her to come on and just to sing over us and to sing a song which has been written, which is traveling around the world at great speed, called The Blessing. And some of you will have heard that. She's going to sing it a cappella. And as she does that, I'm just going to ask you, if you're sat or stood or wherever you are in your place, just to allow God to do whatever it is that he wants to do right now. I'm going to pray. Julia's going to sing, and then we're going to come and pray into some specifics. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you to come. And we welcome you to come and do whatever it is that you want to do. Mm-hmm. We pray that in this moment and in these moments and in the days to come, you would help us find the flow of your Holy Spirit. And we pray now, as Julia sings over us, that you would rest on us, that you would fill us with your Spirit. We welcome you, God. We welcome you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and their children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and their children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you. He is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you. 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 Yes. you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
You know, when Jesus was stood at the festival in John 7, and he said what he said, part of what was underlying that meaning of what he was saying was that the thing that had been celebrated was ultimately not something that was going to change your heart. And as he spoke, what he was doing was releasing a new reality into the hearts of the people, that come and believe in me is what Jesus was saying. And rivers of living water will flow from within you. It changes you from the inside. And I want us to take a moment just before we finish. Tom's going to come back and worship, lead us in worship in a second. He'll start to play as we pray as well. What I would love us to pray for is three things that we finished with. I want us to pray for you. I want us to pray, particularly if you're part of family, for your children, or if you've not got children, then you can pray for other children that you know. That's absolutely fine. And I want to pray for anyone that you know that's far off. Three things: you, children, and far off people. And I want us to take a moment to do that right now. Let's start by praying for you. And God, I pray for every person that's connected to this right now, for anyone that is going to connect later on. I pray, God, that this will be a time where we would find the flow of your Holy Spirit, that we would find the most significant, the most transformational, the most powerful, most significant flow there ever is and ever will be. God, would this be a time where we find you in new and deeper ways? Father, we pray for our families. We pray for our children, just as Tom talked about. We pray for those children that we might be connected to or know or have a significant relationship with. We thank you that the promise of your Holy Spirit is multi-generational. We thank you, God, that no one is discounted, from the youngest to the oldest. Thank you that no one listening and connected right now is discounted from the promise. Holy Spirit, fill. Would you be filling people now? And God, we pray for those people that we, or it might even be ourselves, that are far away, that are far off. And you might be someone, and I just have in my mind, someone who has been close, but is far off. And if that's you, if you have been close to God in the past and you currently find yourself far away, please know today that God sees you, that he loves you, that he cares for you, that his extends towards you, and that his promise, that the great promise of the Holy Spirit that can fill you, is for you today, even though you feel far off. Father, we pray for anyone for whom we're connected to who's far off right now. We thank you that your promise is for them too. We thank you that your heart extends, that it knows no distance boundaries, that you go after people who are far away. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and do that today. We pray that this moment, Holy Spirit, in your power, in your grace, and the coming days would be significant moments in our relationship with you. We know you close, and we'll be hear stories of people connecting to you in different ways than they've ever known before. Holy Spirit, we thank you for who you are. We love you. And we welcome you to whatever you do in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite Tom just to lead us in our final song, and then Neil's going to come back at the end to pray and to wrap us up. It's been amazing to be with you this morning. And do stay connected with us if you've got questions or you've got thoughts about needing to connect. Always email us at there's two email addresses that we use. You can use our stories at ccweb.org.uk email address, or you can use our office at ccweb.org.uk. Both of those email addresses regularly, so you can get in contact with us through that if you need to. God bless you, and let's finish with this morning.